of nonprofits essentially had to cancel all of their events because of COVID. And it, you know, arose a really big problem in the fact that they're not really using technology in an effective way. And so we're helping to build tools.
Okay, we are recording. This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Nick Lynch, and he's the CEO of Kaleidoscope, which is a startup right here in Los Angeles, of all places. Nick, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So first off, like, what is Kaleidoscope?
Yeah, so Kaleidoscope is really focused on enabling nonprofit organizations to connect with valuable CSR, corporate social responsibility initiatives, influencers and social media. And we really hope to power that social media reach and measure the impact, to a nonprofit. You know, I think over 73% of nonprofits essentially had to cancel all of their events because of COVID. And it, you know, arose a really big problem in the fact that they're not really using technology in an effective way. And so we're helping to build tools to help them better leverage things like social media to provide valuable fundraising to their efforts and initiatives.
So I think you use the word influencer, right? So is the idea to connect influencer with causes, or how does this work?
Yeah, for sure. So that's a big part of it. Is we found that the ability for nonprofits to leverage social media is still very, very early for them. And most, like something like 97 or 98% of most nonprofits don't really leverage technology in an efficient way to you know, power their message across social media. So influencers being, you know, an extremely powerful medium for brands right now, our hope is to allow them to connect with nonprofits that align with their audience and their belief systems and empower that connection to you know, allow nonprofits to value, you know, to create value.
So what does this look like? Like, is the idea that, you know, I have an audience and, you know, I find out about causes or that I already know about them? Like, what's the role of Kaleidoscope in that scenario?
Yeah, it almost sort of functions sort of on two aspects. One is kind of a two-sided marketplace in that we're connecting influencers and nonprofits and corporate social responsibility initiatives. And the other piece, which we're really solely focused on, which we believe that can really help nonprofits, is the measurement piece. So, you know, our sort of algorithm matches, that component and almost like Tinder for nonprofits. And then once those collaborations happen, we measure sort of the full impact of what those collaborations look like from the sort of very top, from a marketing perspective of how much awareness and traffic and funds was that collaboration that raised, and then down to the mission impact is of the dollars generated, what did those dollars go? Of the amount of people that petitioned, what did that happen? You know, how did that affect the nonprofit? So we're really focused, sort of our big level, our big sort of big scheme picture is that we're going to provide sort of 360 mission and marketing impact analytics to nonprofits.
Oh, that's really interesting. It feels like there's an element also of like Cameo in there where they're,
yeah,
you know, it's like you're connecting. I mean, I guess that's more fans with celebrities, but it's kind of interesting how, so if I'm, let's say I'm, you know, again, I'm an influencer, which I'm not, but at least I'm an influencer. so I discover something that I resonate with around entrepreneurial education on your platform. What sort of tools will I have to help promote it? And how do I drive real world results to that charity?
Sure. So our goal is on the influencer side to make things as easy as possible to share whatever the message is. So, once you've identified, again, sort of the matching system, we try to make it as simple as possible. Once you find a charity that aligns with what you want to communicate to your audience, it's really as simple as, be a part of this campaign. Our system will spit out a couple links that you can either share in your link tree or some other service that you use, or just directly in your bio on something like Instagram, or you can just put it in some of your other, you know, video description of a YouTube video or Facebook post or those sorts of things. So really focus on just making it easy, integrate maybe a couple pieces of copy about what the charity does or why it's important to the influencer, and then that link. And then from there, we provide measurement for the influencer and obviously also for the nonprofit. So they can see, is this a collaboration that we want to continually work on, maybe bring them more in the fold in terms of being a more outspoken spokesperson. So it really allows nonprofits also to identify, you know, real ambassadors or champions of their cause, to bring them maybe more in the fold again and leverage this sort of new media and a new audience to leverage, you know, for mission enablement.
So is there a revenue component to this? And then how does it work for, your startup? Like, what do you think your role will be? Are you a nonprofit, or is this something that you think, you know, there's a commerce piece? I'm just curious what the
model is. Yeah, no, the software space specifically for nonprofits is huge. I think it's estimated to be like $4.5 billion in a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a space that there's a characteristic of two types of companies. You either have companies that have created enterprise tools for everything but nonprofits and sort of square peg round hole it into the nonprofit. So you have these sort of master enterprise solutions that nonprofits really don't, you know, utilize all the extent because they're very specific, have specific industry issues. And then you have companies that, maybe have founders that have started at other nonprofits. And so they've sort of put technology pieces together that would have helped them at their nonprofits. But there are, you know, nuances to how each nonprofit or each type of mission actually goes about using technology. So there's a challenge in you know, where the technology come from. For us, we really focus on the ROI aspect of it and really work collectively across the board with all these nonprofits that we're currently working with in our beta program to figure out where the real needs are and how do they measure ROI so that we can really build technology that not only can measure that and provide value to them, but also show back that you've spent X amount of dollars on software. This is how much you got back. And so that's really where we're positioning ourselves from that perspective, and that we will be charging a licensing fee from a software perspective, but there are other components to it in terms of how much money have you raised. Maybe we can offset some of the costs with potentially making a little bit of transactional piece on that too. So there's a lot of models that we're leveraging and testing currently, and again, we're in beta, and one of the awesome parts about being in this stage and working with various nonprofits is really getting what works best across the board, because this space is so nuanced. So we're really excited to, as we get into Q1 of next year to launch a full product.
So it sounds like it's kind of a SaaS play, but potentially transactional in the future. And it sounds like you're committed to figuring out what the best model for nonprofits to dip their toe into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How did you come about deciding like this was a problem that you wanted to solve?
Sure. Yeah. No. It's interesting. It's kind of a culmination of everything in my life. My professional career, I've been for the last 14 years now, has been really in advertising technology and identifying ways that we can create tools for advertisers and brands and content owners and data owners to all work together and to transact and sort of live in the ad tech space. My personal background, though, is I was actually a Make-A-Wish kid. Make-A-Wish, I was sick when I was 3. I had cancer. Make-A-Wish sent me to Disneyland. And since the time I was 3 and forever, I have been part of the Make-A-Wish family. And I've worked really closely here with the Make-A-Wish office in LA. When COVID hit, it sort of put all of these things together for me, is that there seems to be a real need for technology to serve for good. In a much more broader way. I think people talk about it a lot. I think there's a lot of technology companies that obviously do good things. But for me personally, I felt like now was kind of time to put my money where my mouth is, time to put my time where my mouth was. And so I really wanted to create technology that enabled these nonprofits to really adopt it in an easy way, make it easy for them to use, and more importantly, leverage tools that actually work in today to bring nonprofits forward. Like I said before, and I think the stat's probably higher because this was back in April, but over 73% of nonprofits had to cancel all of their nonprofit their fundraising events.
Yeah,
these nonprofits really, events are all in person. So it's like, how do you leverage technology to make this better?
It's definitely one of those things that's very event driven. It feels like.
Yep.
And I think that they're already struggling with technologies that are out there. So. I applaud what you're doing. Like, it's really interesting to see someone taking the initiative and trying bridging that gap, especially in this time, because I think that nonprofits are probably the most under stress of many industries right now. I mean, they're already under stress normally, right? And I want to acknowledge Make-A-Wish. So it's interesting, just a personal thing is that my cousin, when he was 3, had childhood leukemia.
Oh, wow.
And the Make-A-Wish Foundation was wonderful to them, as was Ronald McDonald House. And Toronto Sick Children's Hospital, which, you know, is probably the only charity that I support still to this day because of that. So I want to acknowledge them, and I'm glad that it worked out so well for you and your family, because they do wonderful work. And
yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
So where you're at, it sounds like you're in beta. What are the, like, what's the stage of your venture as far as, like, what do you need, and what's the next thing for you guys?
Sure. Yeah. So we've been bootstrapping really since March. We're about to officially raise, I guess what you would call a small seed round to help us sort of accelerate some of the development of the sort of paid features that we're really, really excited about. So today's stage is we've built a couple of products that will be sort of our feeder products. They're free social analytics tools, social management tools that we're already seeing actually a lot of traction and adoption on. And we feel like it's been a great conversation starter. It's been a great way to build initial relationships and build a bridge of trust with these nonprofits. Because again, most of them who are used to paying for software, it's overpowered, overpriced, and not really in something that they really work on or need on day to day. It's just sort of something that like solves a small percentage, but they're paying for the whole kit and caboodle. So that's sort of where we're at today. Is we're really using it as our sort of way to get into to nonprofits and to onboard them. And we've gotten a lot of really great traction working with a lot of really great partners. Obviously, you know, close to near and dear to my heart of the ones that I've been known for as well, but also new ones that are all over the world. And so we're just super excited about the response so far, the, you know, sort of the acceptance of our mission and sort of the validation that what we're saying and what our perception is of what's needed in the market is being echoed as, yes, we need these tools. The way that you're thinking about pricing, the way that you're thinking about adoption, the way they're thinking about communication, it's all things that we crave, because really there isn't somebody who understands the nonprofit mission like you do. Like since I've lived it, I know the power of it. I've worked so closely with it. So it's been really great.
That's amazing. So I think we'll make sure that we connect you with anyone that we know in that space or that might be able to further your mission.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that it's probably, you know, there's just so many important things going on that don't have a profit component, right? And I think they're always constrained with, it boils down to the network, right? And I think there's a very, very distinct audience, unfortunately, it is what it is, that typically support these type of initiatives and charities. And if this can help even broaden that and exposure, it'd be amazing to see how that works out.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you.
A couple quick things. One is, how do people get in touch with you? And if they're interested in a beta, maybe that's another good thing to connect with.
Yeah, so we're on all the major social platforms, kaleidoscope.io. It's, we spell it kind of funky. We don't spell it like a kaleidoscope, like with the K. It's literally the mix between collide and scope. So collide, scope, scope.io. I'm Nick. I'm Nick kaleidoscope.io. You can email me. Our website is... we're actually revamping it right now. It'll be up in a day and a half. You can find out how to sign up there as well.
Terrific. Okay, a couple quick things. If you, Nick, are the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with, as Jim Rohn says, who do you, Nick, spend the most time with?
It's a great question. So number one is my wife. number two is my son.
Oh, cool.
Number three is, I have a buddy of mine who I've known since I was like eight. And then I have another two buddies of mine, that I met sort of later in life. But I think what you're asking also, I think the value of those people, and maybe I can give you some insight there too. So my wife, is extremely detail oriented. And so, you know, seeing how she looks at different things has really helped me sort of take a step back. Am I looking at it the right way? Am I asking the right questions? She's a journalist by trade. So it's been amazing to sort of soak up a lot of that. My son is four. He's adventurous. He has no fear, zero fear. And when you're in the startup world, whether you're a founder, whether you're an early employer, whether you're the 100th employee and you don't know if you're going to grow or what's going to happen, fear is a component. So kind of going into things with excitement and sort of as mitigating your fear as possible and seeing how he manages that has sort of helped me. my third buddy, Trey, he, again, I've known him forever. He's one of the most passionate creative guys ever, and nobody can stop him in his mission to be in music since I've known him. You can tell, you know, you could tell him you're too old to be in music, or you've been doing it for too long and you haven't seen X, Y, and Z happen. He's still doing it, and he's the most passionate guy. And so seeing how he follows his passion is big. My other buddy, Ryan, is a really, really successful entrepreneur. And I've known him since when it was three guys in a small office to now it's a multinational, I think 400 people, he said, told me on Saturday. Wow. They have now. And he's gone through an acquisition. He's now going through some other amazing things. So, I mean, again, just sort of the things that you soak up amazing, from how he yeah. looks at business has been great. And then my other buddy, Brian, you know, he has been sort of in the corporate world. So, you know, he's been a consultant, he's been at NBC, he's been at Apple, he's been in all these other places. And so, you know, again, kind of getting that perspective of how big multinational, fully established public companies sort of look at their operating issues and their challenges is sort of fun.
Right?
It's very different. Yeah. It's kind of funny, but it's also cool to see how a lot of it is about the politics and how you position certain things with certain people within the organization. So sort of getting those aspects is really interesting too.
Love it. Yeah. If you were to recommend one book that people should read, what would that book be?
Bob Iger's book. It's the one that I can't remember the name of it, but it's, oh my God. It is about his, I think it's like it's a business book masked in like an autobiography where he just talks the way he interweaves stories about the most well-known brands and people and things into like business lessons about how you approach certain things. Most business books to me are really boring. I've read a half a dozen just in the last, you know, since COVID, but Bob Iger's book to me, I just couldn't put it down. It was just exciting, inspiring, and really amazing.
I don't know if you have Masterclass, but his Masterclass was excellent.
I would imagine so. It actually makes me want to do that just because he seems like the coolest guy that you would want to hang out with.
You know, it's interesting you said that because he's very, I think it's called Ride of a Lifetime. Is that his?
Yes, there you go. Ride of a Lifetime. Yeah.
His Masterclass was excellent. Like you really see a couple of things that's really interesting. I don't know if you get this from the book. One is, you know, he's a very measured, even guy, but he's still like insightful and he's inquisitive. So that really came across. And I think from a business perspective, what you got to see was how deals came together. Like he talked about the Steve Jobs deal with Pixar you know, it was the George Lucas Star Wars deal. Like the guy's done mega deals.
Huge deals, Fox.
Yeah, Fox, right? Like that movie studio. So it's really interesting. And I'm glad you brought that book up. And if people haven't checked out Masterclass, I always highly recommend it because you get some interesting people on there with some really, you know, kind of behind the scenes. And you get a feel for who they are, really, how they think, which is really kind of cool. All right, how are you, Nick, changing the world?
Well, I hope that I'm bringing awareness and action to really well-deserving and well-needed nonprofits. That's how I'm hoping I'm changing the world, is I'm trying to create these tools that better connect everybody to these missions so that they can actually fulfill what they're trying to do. Personally, just from the Make-A-Wish piece, I mean, there's over 600 people that are waiting for wishes in LA, just in LA. Wow. And part of that's from a budget perspective, obviously part of that's COVID and some other things, but just seeing how difficult it is to facilitate that one mission, let alone the, you know, multi-million nonprofits that are out in the world trying to fulfill the most amazing missions ever. So that's what I'm hoping to do, make some small fractional change to help facilitate.
Yeah. Maybe we can get Bob Iger on board. That'd be great.
Come on, Bob. You're listening, Bob.
I'm sure you're listening. All right. The final thing is, when we have interesting people on the Automate and Grow podcast, we'd like you to nominate other interesting people to be a future guest. It's usually someone that you know that you can introduce us to. And usually the first person that pops to your mind is the best person. So who would you, Nick, like to nominate as a future guest of Automate and Grow?
Yeah, my buddy Ryan Disraeli. He's the CEO of Telesign. He's he actually reminds me a lot of Bob Iger. He's measured he's got this brilliant mind. I think he'd be a great addition to this.
And what was Ryan's last name again?
Disraeli.
Disrael?
Yeah, Disraeli.
Disraeli, sorry, I kept putting it. All right, so Ryan Disraeli, you've been nominated by your friend Nick to be a future guest on the Automate and Grow podcast. We will accept that nomination. Nick, I want to acknowledge you again for the great work that you're doing and let us know anything I can do to help you out. And we will see you on a future episode. This has been another episode of Automate and Grow. We will see you in a future episode, hopefully with Ryan of Automate and Grow.
Let's do it.